So I think what I'd like to do, I'd like to talk for a few more minutes about language. I'd like to talk about a couple more assumptions that we have and address them, and then we'll move on. And what we'll do is actually we'll take a short break after we talk about these assumptions so that people who are getting buttitis can sort of recover, and those who want to flee can, I'll close my eyes and so you don't have to worry about me feeling bad. Anyway, a few years ago, there were newspaper accounts of about 69 Yanomami Indians who were machine gunned by some miners in Venezuela. And all the newspaper accounts said that the Yanomami couldn't give accurate numbers of dead because they can't count past two. The newspapers made it seem as though the Yanomami are unbelievably stupid, perhaps even subhuman, which is an extraordinary word, because, I mean, children can count to two. And what's the big deal here? What's wrong with those people? And that belief that the Yanomami are subhuman may account for the fact that the eventually apprehended mass murderers were sentenced to 6 months in jail. But I was sitting around one day, I was looking at my fingers, which probably says a lot more about my social life than I want it to, and I suddenly realized if I hold up this finger and I hold up this finger, am I holding up two fingers? No, I'm not, actually, because this finger has a little itty-bitty wart on the back, and this one, a couple years ago, had a huge, ugly, disgusting wart right about here, which is probably a lot more information than you really want. And the point is that counting presumes that the things to be counted, the digits, are identical. It's like, that's okay, Derek, get some counseling, things are going to be fine. But think about it. Suddenly somebody bursts in through the door in the back, they spray the room with a machine gun, and six people die. And then tomorrow in the newspaper it says, six people died last night at this amazing talk this guy was giving. It goes on about the talk for a little while, and then it talks about the six people. Suddenly makes a big difference whether it's these six. You know, I'm not gonna include myself in this demonstration. And at some of the death camps, there were contests held in which a preset number of winners would live and a preset number of losers would die. And suddenly it makes a big difference whether your number is 67 or 69. It's not just a number. It's like a friend of mine says, counting is a coarse filter. You lose a lot of information. If I were to die, and what am I? You know, there's a loaded word, I. Am I an ego? Am I this ego in this sack of skin? Am I a web of relationships? Am I actually a being from Alpha Centauri who's and then my body's this little radio thing, radio receiver? It makes as much sense. Hey, maybe I'm a soul that comes down from heaven that's just beyond Orion, and I inhabit this body, and then when I die, the soul goes up. That makes as much sense as the Alpha Centauri thing. Anyway, what was I going to say? This friend of mine was saying, of course, filter, if I were to die, a different history would die with me, and a different web of relationships would be altered than if you were to die, or you. There is no such thing as two identical objects. And the real point is that it's a lot easier to kill a number than it is an individual. And that's true whether we're talking about millions of board feet of timber, tons of fish, or boxcars of winter mansion. And the real point is, if something as simple as 1, 2, 3 carries with it presumptions of identity, of relationship, how about something like an entire economic system that's built on 1, 2, 3? What about an entire scientific system? What are the assumptions that undergird both of those systems? And the real point is that I never learned that in school. I mean, when I went in ninth grade, when I talked to the algebra teacher and said I couldn't do the manipulation, she should have said, damn straight, you shouldn't do them because they're genocidal and ecocidal. No way, don't do them, I'm with you, bro, power. but she didn't say that. Okay, the other assumption I want to talk about is we assume, first off, that natural selection exists. Maybe. Okay, second, we assume that natural selection has a point. We assume that the point of natural selection is humans. In fact, civilized humans. All these millions and billions of years of evolution have taken place so that we can watch television. And, okay, so we're going to stop that little train for a second. We're going to jump tracks. And I'm going to say that my life was ruined by rock and roll. I was actually a good little capitalist until about eighth grade. And, okay, we're going to jump tracks again and say, I've had this habit of asking people if they like their jobs, and about 90% say no. And what does it mean when the vast majority of the people spend the vast majority of their waking hours doing things they don't want to do? What does that mean? Okay, jump tracks again. And when I was in college, and my first degree, by the way, was a BS in mineral engineering physics with an emphasis in BS, And when I was in college, I worked at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Boulder. And I hated that job. And every day, I would get up and I would go to this job I hated, and I would see my dogs lying asleep on the lawn. And then I would come home from this job that I hated, and I would see the dogs were lying asleep on the lawn. And I started thinking about the point of evolution. And I realized the point of evolution is probably collies. So pretty much the turning point of my life was when, and this is totally going to date me, was when I heard the Bachman-Turner Overdrive song, Taking Care of Business. And yes, I listened to it on an 8-track. And here's how it goes. You get up every morning from your alarm clock's warning, take the 8:15 to the city. There's a whistle up above and people pushing, people shoving, all the girls trying to look pretty. Well, if your train's on time, you can get to work by 9, start your slaving job and get your pay. Well, if you ever get annoyed, look at me, I'm self-employed. I love to work at nothing all day. I've been taking care of business. Which sounded really good to my 8th grade ears. It was all downhill since then. And so one day I was at NOAA. It was a beautiful summer day. It was June day, and I mean, you know how it is here in June with the thunderheads. And I was looking out through the window and seeing, you know, it was a little itty-bitty window, so I see one little itty-bitty thunderhead. I saw a thunder cheek or something. And it's 2 o'clock, and the second hand is going tick, tick. And I go ahead, I work until 5, and I look back at the clock, and I see it's 10 after 2. I can't do this. It's killing me. It's just killing me. And I say, I wish it was 5 o'clock. And I said, oh my God, what did I just do? I just wished away the only thing I have. I wished away my time. And I realized, I was looking at my fingers, staring at them, when I got this thing about looking at my fingers. And I suddenly realized that selling fingers is no different than selling hours. You know, you've got more hours than fingers, we hope. And you can't see your hours, but you've only got a finite number. When they're gone for good. And any time you spend doing one thing, you can't do another. And would I wish away my life until I was 65 and I retired, and then the next day I got hit by a truck? You know, this time that I was spending in there, I could be doing something else. It's like this time you're spending here, I mean, you could all be out making love. What the hell's wrong with you? Anyway, you know this notion of, you know, my fingers are like hours, or my hours are like fingers. You know, it's silly. Nobody would go, you know, here, Mr. Boss, you can have my pinky for, I don't use it very much, so you can have it for $6.50. And, you know, I use this one more often, and it's a bigger one, so you can have this one for $8. Here you go, you can have my ring finger, Mr. Boss, for $8. I tell you what, boss, you can have this one for free. which actually seems a really good place to end the first part of a talk. So I will say that I sold 40 more fingers and then quit and became a beekeeper. Anyway, so why don't we take like a 3 or 4 minute break, and those of you who want to flee for your lives, that's great, and those of you who want to stick around, then that's even greater. And for those of you who are going to leave, this would be a good time for you to go ahead and applaud.